Today, we have a rare reading from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is not often read in our Sunday Eucharistic readings. It seems that on the whole, we shy away from the parts of the Old Testament that have to do with any part of the law other than the Ten Commandments. But today, we have a reading taken from the middle of the Holiness Code. God says to Moses, "Tell my people, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." God wants his people to be set apart from others, to be noticeably different. I'm sure that there are certain attributes that come to your mind when you think of what it means to be holy. There are probably certain people that come to your mind as holy people as well. The well-known folks like Mother Teresa or maybe Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Maybe there's a particular role model in your life you think of as a holy person. In this day and age, it may sound a little too churchy to say or think someone is holy. It's unfortunate that saying that someone is holy may bring to mind someone who is absolutely no fun at all. Someone who is so connected to God that he or she is totally unconnected to the world. But that's not at all what we hear in this portion of the Holiness Code. What we hear is that part of being holy, a large part of what it means to be holy, is about how God's people deal with each other and with others. Do not render unjust judgment. Do not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. Treat everyone the same. Treat them with justice. Do not slander others and do not profit by the blood of your neighbor. What does that mean? How would we profit from the blood of our neighbor? Thankfully, that probably literally isn't a concern that we have in the 21st century in the United States, but it is probably still an issue in certain parts of the world and was certainly an issue when God was trying to train his people. Do not sell your neighbor into slavery. Or moreover, do not kill your neighbor for monetary gain. It's nice that we're probably off the hook on that one. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt on yourself. In other words, you're not only accountable to your neighbor, you're also accountable for your neighbor. If your neighbor is not behaving in a way that is holy, you are to gently remind them that they are to be accountable to God's holiness code. And if you turn a blind eye or deaf ear, then you incur the guilt on yourself. God means business. His people are to be in community. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When the Pharisees are on their roll, determined to catch Jesus in a trick, trying to force him into a corner that he can't get out of, they get their brightest guy, a lawyer, and they send him in for the next round. Remember the last round they tried to catch Jesus in a question about paying taxes? No one likes paying taxes. And the taxes that Rome incurred on the Jews and the way that the tax collector dealt with their own people was notoriously bad. So the Pharisees asked if they had to pay taxes to Caesar. There's a law against an image in the temple, and the image of Caesar is on the coin. They think they have Jesus here. He will surely make a comment about the graven image on the coin, but instead he says, in effect, "This graven image is of little worth in the big scheme of things. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." They can't rebut this. The Pharisees are foiled again, but they just keep trying. In their minds, they've got to find a way to reveal Jesus as the charlatan they think he is. So they send in a lawyer this time. There's no way he can lose. He asks a question about the law. Which one is the greatest? And Jesus quotes both Deuteronomy and Leviticus. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments are what all the law and the prophets depend on. And the law and the prophets, the majority of the Hebrew Bible, the scripture of Jesus and the lawyer and the Pharisees. And after this affirmation of God's holiness code and how God's people live as those who are holy, Jesus turns to the Pharisees and asks them a challenging question about the lineage of the Messiah and of David. He turns the table on those who are trying to trap him, and we hear that no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Pharisees, the very ones who were charged with keeping the laws and the commandments, the keepers of the holiness code, were not following their own code. They were keeping the law on the surface, but not in reality. They were giving God's code lip service, checking it off the list of things to do and not do. But they were failing at living in community and loving neighbor as self. You probably aren't going to try to trap your neighbor in a mind game if you're living in the holiness code. Wasn't there a line in there about vengeance and a grudge? There's no places for grudges or ill will or vengeance in God's kingdom plan for his people. So how do we live into God's holiness plan for our lives? How do we live as God's holy people in the year 2014? We can begin by paying attention to how we deal with others, with our families, our friends, our coworkers. If we have employees, or if we hire folks to help with housework or yard work or babysitters or elder care, do we treat those folks justly? Do we pay a living wage? Or do we take advantage of those in our care? Do we strive to respect the dignity of every human being? Or do we think that some folks are just beneath dignity? Are we determined to hold on to our anger and hurt? Or do we seek to live our lives as those who are willing to forgive in the name of love? Lobster Fest and our Beans and Rice ministry and Foothills Day Camp are all ministries to the community that show our intent to live out the commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. Holy Moly, which is the Children's Christian Ed Program, and VBS are ways which we live out commitment to the children that God has given us in this community. Each time we baptize a new member into the body of Christ, we commit to their care and upbringing as members of the community of believers. We join in community meals each Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. We love eating together and sharing good times. I think that we're on the way to being the holy people that God wants us to be. Part of the care of our communal life together is our commitment to giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasure. This week we begin our season of reminding ourselves that it is only through our giving out of the gifts we have been given that the wonderful ministries at Grace can continue. Holiness happens in our shared life together and our commitment to each other and to the world. Part of that commitment is to support that shared life with our tithe. Beginning in early November, we will have three opportunities to come together to enjoy fellowship and fun and talk about what it means to be a part of this holy community at Grace Church. Your vestry family member will be calling you to invite you to come to one of these three parties. The dates are November 4th, 13th, and 18th, whichever one is most convenient for you. Please make every effort to take part in one of these parties. I think you will find that you will be affirmed in being there, and you will know that your presence is very much wanted and appreciated. Community means all of us. None of us is more valued than another. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to be joyful about. We have so much to offer of ourselves in the world. Be holy as God is holy. Be in community, loving God, neighbor, and self. Amen.